I'm Brittany Gallagher, reporting to you on digital culture for Digital Village. We've talked a lot about virtual reality on this show, and there are a lot of great experiences out there. From Alejandro Iñárritu's Carne y Arena at LACMA, which puts you in the shoes of an immigrant crossing the border into the United States, to The Void's hyper-reality experience, Star Wars, Secrets of the Empire, where you and three other people move through a virtual world as undercover agents to retrieve information critical to the Rebel Alliance. VR has a lot of potential. But what about VR's less immersive cousin, augmented reality, or AR? Quite a few companies like Intel are coming out with glasses that look, well, just like reading glasses, but have some level of display meant to be accessed when you want. Or to the more grandiose endeavors, like Magic Leap, who hope to create ubiquitous, lightweight glasses that add virtual objects to the real world. My guest this week is Galit Ariel, founder of Wondar Lands, AR capitalized, and the author of Augmenting Alice, The Future of Identity, Experience, and Reality, which contextualizes AR applications, its implementation potential, and the technological challenges and risks. I spoke with Galit about AR and VR and the challenges we have with AR. But first, what brought Galit to AR?
So I actually started off as an industrial designer. So I started from the physical world design. And I moved throughout the years into brand and strategy and moved further into experience design. During my MA in design innovation, I went back to my original nerd roots, which is technology, and I tried to decipher how to create immersive technologies that actually work. And I ended up writing a thesis about creating implementation strategies for augmented reality and writing a book about the impact of augmented reality on a societal, cultural, political, and even spiritual level.
I've covered a lot of VR on my show and a lot less AR, and I feel like VR gets a lot of the quote-unquote glory, like everyone is talking about VR. But AR is just way more useful in every aspect of your life. What do you think the reason is that VR gets the glory? And then also, like, we've had such failures in products like Microsoft's HoloLens and then obviously Google Glass.
So VR seemed to be the natural progression of immersive technology because it's a space that you can control and it's kind of a natural flow from gaming, right? So the idea of having a fully immersive space sounds like a great idea. If you ignore the human factor in it, if you ignore the fact that it's a closed system and we are social creatures, and if you ignore the fact that isolating ourselves from the actual day-to-day reality is not something that you will choose to do for 24/7. So VR is an important technology, but I think it really got hyped a lot in terms of it can do everything and ignoring a lot of problems it had beyond the technology aspect that is just not developed enough. So we have latency issues and adaptability issues, etc. Now, AR, as you said, is adaptable to a lot more areas because the idea that you can add a digital content, information layer, or narrative into our everyday lives actually opens up the world for augmentation. So it's a great technology. It's a very important technology. It's not new, but only in the last few years we really saw some advancement in wearables and through device implementation of it. So it is up and coming. There's still a lot of time till we'll understand how to implement digital experiences within the physical world. And this is something that technology developers, again, tend to ignore. They try to push technologies very quickly to the audience before the audience is ready. This is one of the biggest failures of Google Glass and the whole glass hole, the whole glass hole vibe around it, because the society was not ready to have people wearing surveillance wearables. And that's what Google Glass is next to the input device. It's an output device, and nobody was ready for it. I don't even think we're ready for it now. And this is not just from a user perspective. It's a question of policy making, of who creates the narrative in the mixed space. Is it the technology developers? Is it the content makers? Is it the policy makers? Is it the users? Because we're really risking in converting the digital noise that we have now into a digital junkyard in the physical space. So we really have to lean in to what augmented reality might mean, and it's an incredible technology, but also accept that there are challenges and risks involved. And if we don't do it, we're just going to, you know, bury it before it's even, you know, mature.
It's Intel that has those glasses that they look just like glasses like this. Yeah. And then you, like, look down at the bottom, and then you little, like, do a ticker or something.
There's quite a few companies that are doing that through sound augmentation and visual augmentation. Problem is not the technology. The problem is even when the technology is there, even when it's fashionable, you know. I'm supposed to be wearing glasses. I'm not. You know, I don't like to put things on my face to start with. I don't also like the idea that I'll have a data layer on top of my face that perhaps I can't control as much as my mobile phone. And a lot of people, you know, talk about wearables, but the truth is wearables have always been problematic in getting to market and sustaining their hold on market. We saw that with Fitbit. And the mobile phone is a wearable. People tend to not consider it as a wearable, but I have it on my body more than any other thing that I have. And I prefer it like that, and I think it's actually healthier that you can put it away even though you're still distracted by it. I think we're moving into a dangerous zone where we'll have technology nudging us at every moment on a physical level, and our biology is not equipped to deal with that.
What kind of work are you doing in the AR space? Like, what is your function? What are you trying to help create?
So the first step, I have a plan. Mm-hmm. So the first step was of course, to publish the book about it, to give people the access to knowledge. I'm now working a lot as a consultant, and I'm working with policymakers in the Netherlands and in Europe, with content creator, with digital agencies, in order to help shape the understanding about immersive technology, help shape tools to create good augmented reality experiences, and start a conversation between all these bodies that are normally, you know, not interacting with each other in terms of understanding what the meaning is it on a more holistic level.
What do you think has been the best use case of AR so far?
There is one great use case.
Not Pokemon Go?
Don't go there. Pokemon Go is technically not AR. It's geolocated filters.
That's true. Okay, I guess it's true. It is geolocated.
Yeah, because AR requires a little bit more interactive relationship with the environment that it didn't really supply. There was this AR developer that created a visualization of voice of his own sentences. So he actually recorded sentences and actually placed the sound waves in space. And it sounds really trivial, but it's one of the coolest things I've seen, because you walk back and forth through the sound and you can visualize and hear it in the same time. And that's an augmented experience. That's doing a multi-sensory kind of a, like, perception shifting application of AR, and that's fantastic.
What excites you about AR? Like, what are you looking forward to?
I think what I'm excited of is that we really will have a third space and a new way to interact with the world. I'm excited about reconnecting with things. I think we're going to have a lot of tangible user interface that will be intriguing. I think it will be back to understanding the physical objects and understanding how to add to them. This merge between the digital and physical in a really deep way is something that really excites me.
But at the same time, it also scares you, right?
It scares me because technology is perfect. It does exactly what it's designed to do. The problem is that it's designed by humans and used by humans. And humans are flawed, and we tend to break things and change things and kind of go with the first worst-case scenario before we go with the best-case scenario. So I'm concerned. I'm not afraid of it. I'm just concerned of the meaning of creating bad and dark AR experiences. So most of the technology that we make is supposed to get us more connected, right? But somehow we ended up creating a lot more silos and isolation. And perhaps it's because we keep telling ourselves that reality or the hardship or the complexity of everyday life is something that we need to override. We need to escape reality. We need to go to Mars. We need to find something else that is better, instead of fixing what we already have that is wonderful. So my point is, you know, let's focus on what we have, the human flaws, the human complexities. Let's explore the fringe. Let's explore all the things that we're scared of doing and make reality great again.
My guest this week was Galit Ariel, founder of Wonderlands and author of Augmenting Alice, The Future of Identity, Experience, and Reality. Of course, it remains to be seen what the future of AR will be. I look forward to a seamless future where I can easily read Japanese because it turns out Google Translate just isn't there yet, or can identify any plant I see while out on a hike. That's it for this week's edition of Digital Culture. I'm Brittany Gallagher. You can find out more on our website at digitalculture.la or follow me on Twitter at In a Quantum World.